we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, J.C. Carter.
Welcome to the Resistance.
Tiffany Steck Bell.
Smash the Patriarchy.
And me. So we've got a lot of news to get to this week, especially here in the first block. I those of you that have been listening know that I tried to get all of the Congressional District 1 Democrats on the show. We succeeded with three of them. First was Michael Farrell. The next was Liban Muhammad, followed by Luis, going to say this wrong, Villarreal. All three wonderful candidates. All had their shit together. All had answers ready. Honestly, among the three of them, you know, the only thing that I would recommend for them to change is a little media training so that they can condense their brilliance down into usable sound bites.
Lots of information.
Lots of information. Tried really hard to clip everybody. And I would say of the three of them, the best on clips was Liban. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. That's got nothing to do with them as candidates. Taking a look at it, so young Liban took first place in the ranked choice voting yesterday at the Utah Democratic Party state convention.
I'm so glad they're doing ranked choice voting.
Yeah, me too.
I love that. Good for him.
Yeah. In second place was our favorite corporate Democrat and guy who voted against raising the minimum wage, and also was one of the key instigators in running a Republican as a Democratic nominee.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Edgar McMuffin, I think his name was.
Something like that.
Something like that. Pretty close to that. Yeah, he was one of those. And Ben sadly turned down the invitation to come and do the show because, and I say that because I really like Ben as a person. I really do. And a lot of his voting in Congress was okay. You know, it's voting against raising the minimum wage and saying that that should be, I mean, that was, how many years ago was that now? And minimum wage is still at $7.25.
Mm-hmm. 12?
I mean, it's been a minute. I think 9.
12 years?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And we have never had... Minimum wage is not raised. People's salaries have gone up, but they're not in anywhere near the current cost of living.
Oh, no.
Not even close.
Nope. So, yeah, so there were a few. Now, okay, look, I'm still boycotting the Utah Democratic Party. I don't go play. I don't. But having talked to these guys and been really impressed with their answers, if you didn't listen to the special episodes, you know, go back. I think that they're at least they can provide some hope for the future of Democrats, especially in Utah. I want more of these guys. So basically what we have now is a four-way primary for CD1 between Lee Ban, Michael Farrell, and Nate Bluen, and Ben McAdams.
What happened to Chavez?
She
dropped?
No, she just didn't make the cut.
Oh, she didn't make it. Okay. Wow, that surprises. Well, not now, but it surprises me. I really liked her.
I did too. You know, it would have been nice if we could have got her on the show so I could like her a little bit more as opposed to just getting blown off, and that just sort of cheeses me a little bit.
Well, allegedly.
No, you didn't. Allegedly. Jesus Christ. Anyway, huge shout out to Lewis. This kid was on with his answers, knew what he wanted to do, you know, was probably the cleanest, by which I mean he was probably the most polished in the interview, you know. And I really, really liked him, and I hope he sticks around, and I hope he does some work, and I hope he runs again.
You never know how this turns out. I think Erin Mendenhall had the same. She started from a very small campaign, and all the other candidates shot themselves in the foot, and she ran a great campaign, and she ended up winning. And with these candidates right now that are in the race, who knows? So you got to believe, and you got to keep fighting until the very end, because you never, ever know.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, when it comes down to it, the reason we have such a crowded field is because these guys went out and collected signatures.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's work. I respect the work.
Yeah.
I don't care how you did it. You went out and got signatures. As long as your signature gatherers, you know, were chill and copacetic, more power to you.
It's nice when you have money to do that.
It's nice when you can raise money to do that.
Yeah, that's, yes.
You're yeah.
Right. That's where I'm a little concerned about the primaries, because McAdams has outraised everyone like 1,000 to 1.
With his dirty corporate money.
Right. But that's still going to, you know, put more flyers out, more door knockers out, and he could wind up taking the primary without having to spend anything when he gets into the general. To have to take on what's his name, who I'm sure will be the Democrat, the Republican nominee. But yeah,
I don't care. I don't care about who they are.
The problem with Ben is, as a candidate, I mean, for us, for me anyway, is that he's not a perfect candidate, but in Utah, he looks the part of the perfect representation that you want.
He's exactly what they say. Oh, we have to represent Utah because it's like 50 years ago, they said Democrats don't support, you know, they don't look like they support Utah, or they're not part of the Utah value. They don't do that. And it's like, they said that like 50 years ago, and you fuckers are still chasing that every day, trying to find the clean cut, perfect candidate. It's like, let us have a candidate, just a candidate.
Well, and it's the delight of Republicans running for office, for any office in this state. They'd be like, hire me to solve the problems. And it's like, you guys have been in charge for decades, since Scott Matheson got voted out of office, senior, back in the 80s when Reagan was president. You guys have been in charge that long. Any problem in this state is yours. You built
you
it. You made it.
Problem.
You own it. Shut the fuck up about, we've got to take back our state from these wacky Democrats. Fuck you. All we've been doing is cleaning up your goddamn messes year after year. Anyway, Lee Ban impressed the hell out of me. I just fell in love with that kid. I really did. I really, really liked Michael Farrell. He was great. I really, really liked Lewis. He was great. So I've got, you know, two good candidates
mm-hmm.
up running in CD1 that I think I need to take some time and figure out which one between Lee Ban and Mike. You know, I can't afford to help everybody as much as I would like to, you know, and I would definitely help both of them as long as they understood that. But, given time and financial considerations, you know, I don't know.
We've been doing this for so long here in Utah. We're well known among Democrats here in Utah. I say the one thing we need to do is endorse one of them. So
yeah.
Whoever you figure out, we'll endorse them. And
we should vote.
And vote, obviously. But
well, that's it. You know, we'll move forward with that. But apparently it was a really good convention yesterday. It ran a lot smoother than they have in the past few years, given mm-hmm. Brian King, the chair of the party, some kudos for that.
Yeah.
You know, he put yep. together a good team that hosted a really good get together, and I have done them before. I understand what goes into that, and I appreciate everybody saying that it was as smooth as it could possibly be.
I'm still involved in the party. I, as a state delegate, and I couldn't make it to convention, but it is so much work. There's so many moving parts. It's so hard to find a space that works, yada yada. And Jade is amazing that I know he did so much to put that together.
He's the executive director.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. He used to be the chair of the Salt Lake mm-hmm. County Democrats.
Yeah.
He did a good job there.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Love him.
Excellent. Indeed.
So yeah, Bob Agar, friend of the show, Bob Agar, said that it was like going to the national convention. It had that feel.
Oh, good.
How smooth it went, yeah.
Well, and I trust what political Bob says.
Yep. I was just going to say, I have a picture with him every convention. I get one every year with him, and I missed it.
I'll Photoshop something for you okay. guys this year. That'll be it. Okay. I don't know how the next couple of minutes is going to go, but last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, apparently we are told, which I don't believe, we'll get into that, that a lone gunman charged the doors to kill people.
Yep.
All right. I don't believe it. I just...
A lone gunman from California carrying multiple weapons couldn't get past the screening section, you know, where you go through the metal detector and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if somebody was actually planning this, you'd think they would have planned for that. And you know, I've been also likewise dubious of the whole thing.
The one where he got shot in the ear mm-hmm. was fake as fuck. I don't care what you said, and a fireman died just for them to get a bump in yep. the polls. No one will convince me that was real, because your ears don't heal. Cartilage doesn't fucking grow back. If he got mm-hmm. shot in the ear, one, blood spatters the way the bullet goes, and his went forward. Two, mm-hmm. he hangs out with professional wrestlers that are really used to blood pills.
Yep.
You know, in three, what was the Secret Service doing letting him pose?
Yeah.
No shit.
You know what I mean?
Was Melania in the silver dress? Do you even remember? I just remember seeing them from the side trying to get him out. And it looked like Melania was just like walked out by herself. Like nobody was.
Right. And JD,
I'm like, what?
JD Vance got taken out
first.
Almost 15 to 20 seconds before Trump did.
Yep.
And then Trump fell on his fucking face.
Oh, God.
You know? which I don't care.
That's
that was
where the
fucking
blood
funny.
Came from.
Like he does.
Oh, no, I'm talking about last night.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he fell. And it's funny because all of a sudden you see him and then you don't. And then a bunch of Secret Service guys are all bent over. And then you see his head pop up.
And you know it wasn't because he was moving so fast.
That little.
I can't move fast anymore. I just can't do it.
Dementia shuffle
yeah.
is what he had. So anyway, that was the end of that. And then 20 minutes later, there's Trump in a tux talking about how much he needs a ballroom so people don't shoot at him anymore. Not getting the point that people are shooting at him because they hate him. Because he's hateable.
Mm-hmm.
He's all, oh, I'm just getting shit done. And when you get shit done, people shoot at you. I'm like, you know what? Nobody shot at Barack Obama when he passed the Affordable Care Act. And boy, were people talking a lot about wanting to shoot him at the beginning of that particular debate.
They were talking about wanting to shoot him when he was running for president.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, that inauguration, don't they walk that whole way up to the, is it to the Capitol? Anyway, I was reading about how terrifying that was, and nobody wanted Obama's to do that. And they said, this is so important to have, like, the visibility. We'll, you know, we're doing it. He didn't get shot there.
Nope. The Trump administration is going to ease some rules on some marijuana categories. My guess is somebody came in from the marijuana industry with a check and maybe a medal and a little trophy.
Really what it was. Absolutely. Yep.
So, it's gonna be a little easier to get your hands on.
On the other hand, it's ironic. This was supposed to be phase one back in the 90s when we were rallying to legalize marijuana. This was phase one, which was getting it taken off of being being a Schedule I narcotic and putting it into Schedule III so that they could do research so that we could get it moved into being a medicine, as well as getting hemp less regulated so it could be used to create things that would actually do away with plastic and excessive chemicals and that sort of thing. And they're finally doing it. And I remember, championing this and campaigning for this back in the 90s, and now we're finally getting to it.
Yep.
That's how long it took to make this even move an inch.
Yeah. Cannabis firms registered in state medical marijuana programs stand to get a huge tax burden lifted. Sam Brill, CEO of Ascend Wellness Holdings, who sells the marijuanas, said, I'm paying a full tax bill on my gross margin, which no other company does except for people in our industry. Yeah, somebody took him a check.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a little medal. And a little trophy, probably.
Or one of his very, very wealthy friends invested in a marijuana farm, in Colorado or Washington or Nevada, and came back and said, hey, Donald, why does this cost so much? Why are you making us do all this? And then it gets fixed.
Yep. Trump got defensive when questioned about how long the war with Iran would last. Ended up snapping at a reporter that was asking the question on a timeline for peace talks. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but Trump just canceled the next round of talks.
Yeah.
Which happened after I put the link for him together. But taking questions from reporters at a White House event on Thursday, Trump was asked by Jeff Mason of Bloomberg News how long he's willing to wait for a unified response from Iran, to which Trump said, and I love it, and I'm going to try and pull the sounder, and I hope this wasn't one where he was out doing the fucking helicopter.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to pull good sound from those. But he's like, don't rush me, Jeff. Guys like you want to say, oh, so we were in Vietnam for like 18 years. We were in Iraq for many, many years. There's still three factions in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking to the ones that don't own anything.
Yeah.
So
three factions of Iran. We're talking the ones that don't own anything, don't control anything. They were the ones sent to negotiate peace. And it's like, even if they negotiate something, who says the Ayatollahs are even going to fucking listen to it? Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the Ayatollahs, and his gang. You get the military, and then you got these other fuckers, and they're the ones that are talking to us. Because I haven't seen anything that says that anything has changed.
Are the other fuckers the ones who own the oil? Is that because that sounds like that's who Trump would want to talk to?
Maybe, but I think the Ayatollah owns the oil. I don't know. And then finally, to wrap up this particular segment, we're going to talk about a visual. But championship women's tennis team got their little tour of the White House like you do. And they took a picture with Trump, and Trump grabbed a stack of tall white guys to stand in front of the women so that you can barely see them. They've been shuffled into the rear of the photo.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's White House aide Margo Martin shared the photo on Twitter. Image showed President Trump posing with the Georgia Bulldogs women's tennis team at the White House. However, the players are barely visible in the shot, hidden behind a cluster of men who dominated the foreground. Trump himself standing in the center, flashing that dumbass fucking thumb of his.
So ridiculous.
From what I understand, this is the coaching staff for the women's team that were put in front.
Tall goes in the back.
Yeah.
But apparently at the White House, cishet white goes
in front.
Dudes
go in the front.
Yeah.
As far as the White House is concerned.
We're going to take a little break. When we get back on the other side, deep dives.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So, we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
I don't want to belabor this particular sales pitch, but put together a new thing that we want to try out. And it is the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. You want more information on it? You can go over to theleftshow.com. It's right there on the right side, on the top of the sidebar there. But basically, have you ever thought about it? You ever thought about starting up a podcast and you want to know what it's all about? Well, we have been doing podcasts now for 15 years. Before that, I did terrestrial radio. We've got over 2,000 episodes of content at this point. And yeah, I took the sort of the distilled knowledge of how to put it together. We've got 13 courses for everything I think that you need to know, including a VIP course that I will spend a couple hours with you. We can do whatever you want. We can go over gear. We can go over graphics. We can go over content, anything like that. It's over at theleftshow.com. Just click on the little graphic there for the Defend Media Podcast Academy. Thank you for your attention in this matter. Now, we're going to do deep dives real quick. I believe Tiffany's going to go first.
Sure.
Okay. And then I'm going to go after. And so now it's time to play the sounder.
It's time for the Left Show's deep dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks.
I'll turn the time over to Sister Steckbell.
Thank you. Imagine this.
You are going to start like
this. Every time. It's the late 1890s, and the bicycle was the ultimate freedom machine for women. It allowed them to travel unchaperoned and required more practical clothing, like bloomers. Scared by this sudden independence, the all-male, just want to throw that in there, medical establishment invented a terrifying medical condition to scare them off their bikes. Wait for this. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's terrifying.
No, I'm not.
Bicycle face.
Bicycle face?
Bicycle face. In 1895, doctors warned that the sheer effort of balancing a bicycle would permanently disfigure women's faces. Symptoms allegedly included bulging eyes, a clenched jaw, and a perpetually weary expression. High-profile journals even suggested that cycling could lead to tuberculosis or permanent nerve strain, simply because women's frail systems couldn't handle the 10-mile-per-hour speeds.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, we all know that bicycle face was just the weak man's cover for bicycle freedom. The real problem was that women were ditching 20-pound corsets and heavy skirts for bloomers, baggy knee-length pants that allowed them to actually move. So men were so morally outraged by women in pants that one man famously told his fiancée the marriage would not take place unless she changed. She promptly handed back her ring, rode away in her bloomers, and told him to fuck off. Real quick, we can't talk about bicycle face without champion racer Tilly Anderson. So when a reporter tried to find signs of her grotesque bicycle face or physical decay, she simply rolled up her sleeves, flexed a massive bicep bigger than this guy's brain, and asked, "See, motherfucker?" That wasn't quite the quote, but you get the idea. So bicycling did more for the emancipation of women than almost anything else in the 19th century. As Susan B. Anthony famously said, it gave women a feeling of self-reliance and independence the moment she takes her seat. Men running this country continue to take rights from women and minority groups based out of fear, weakness, and irrational logic. So stand up, use your voice, and stop voting for grotesque, insecure men that continue this war on women. Now go outside and ride your bike, because fuck those guys. And bicycle face. The end.
I think they would have said something more along the lines of, "You matriarchy fornicator."
That's fair, but
yeah,
these are my words today. So
that bicycle face, is that any, I mean, do you know, and again, I'm asking for more research than you probably did, but that does it have anything to do with the evolution of the conservative women into Mar-a-Lago face?
Oh, that is a good point. I will research that more.
Because I got to think that doctors should be saying something about Mar-a-Lago face with the same energy that they took away bicycles and soccer from women.
Right.
Yeah, I did that. I just gave it soccer. Bicycle face.
I know. I'm telling you, men are such fucking idiots. What are we going to do? These women are out on bicycles and bloomers. The scandal. We shall invent bicycle face.
Bicycle face. I love it. All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
I feel bad because mine isn't championing anything other than something I'm annoyed about.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Whereas Crush the Patriarchy over here is doing the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely the Lord's work.
FIFA. I am here to talk about FIFA for just a minute. We want to talk about what's happening with the 2026 World Cup, because it should be a once-in-a-generation moment for soccer in the United States. And instead, thanks to FIFA, it's starting to look like a corporate circus. Yep. This was supposed to be the tournament that finally cemented this sport in America. Bigger audiences, newer fans, real momentum. Instead, FIFA took one look at the United States and said, cool, so how can we squeeze every fucking dollar out of these idiots? They expanded the tournament to 48 teams. Not because the game needed it, because it most certainly did not, but because fans were asking for it. Because more teams means more matches, more broadcast deals, more sponsorship inventory, more money. And what that does is just dilute the product. The World Cup worked because it was elite. It meant something to qualify. Now, it's kind of starting to feel like participation trophies on a global scale. And I say that looking at Italy. You guys blew it. Three in a row. Three in a row! You've managed to not qualify. So it doesn't stop there. When you look at ticket pricing, hospitality packages, the way access is being structured, it's being built for corporations and VIP experiences and not for actual fans. The people who built the sport, who support it week in, week out, are getting screwed. They're getting priced out of the biggest event in the world. In a country where soccer is still growing, and that's not just greedy, it's entirely short-sighted. Because if you, because you don't grow a sport by making it inaccessible, you grow it by creating moments people can be a part of. And that's the bigger issue that it comes down to is trust. FIFA has a long, well-documented history of corruption scandals, backroom deals, and decisions that seem to prioritize profit over integrity. The reputation has not gone away. It's just been rebranded. Looking at you, FIFA Peace Prize. So when fans look at the World Cup, and they see expansion, commercialization, and exclusivity, doesn't feel like growth. It just feels like it's coming out of the same fucking playbook. So this is why this matters specifically in the United States. Soccer here isn't like it's in Europe or in South America or in Africa. It's still fighting for cultural space. It still needs moments that bring people in and not push them out. Yeah. And 2026 was supposed to be that moment. If the experience is overpriced, over-commercialized, and disconnected from fans, you don't build lifelong supporters. You create casual viewers who tune in and then move on. That's who I used to be. I have watched the American women play in the last three, I believe, World Cups. And I love it. And then I wouldn't watch any soccer until the World Cup rolled around again. So that's the real risk. FIFA isn't just monetizing a tournament. They're potentially blowing a massive opportunity to grow the game in one of the biggest markets in the world. And this is all for short-term profit. It is stated by them that they stand to make $11 billion off the 2026 World Cup. And they're a non-profit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So at some point, you've got to ask, is this about the sport or is this about the business? And right now, it's pretty fucking obvious. It's about the business. Ta-da!
Yay!
I was at the CVS the other day to pick up some meds, and they had a FIFA display. I'm calling it a FIFA display.
Okay.
Because they were selling merch for World Cup. Not one piece of merch had the words World Cup prominently. But the number one thing you could see prominently on every one of them was FIFA.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not the World Cup anymore. It's FIFA. That's all it is. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not buying any of your overpriced chintzy shit here. Even though I'm going to be watching the World Cup every day that it's on. You know, not gonna buy in all this shit, especially when you're throwing your name on higher, you know, in bigger letters and a bright enough font that it stands out against anything that says World Cup on it.
Yeah. No, I'll give you that. I have my own World Cup story where I tried to buy a t-shirt online to support the Scottish national team.
You too, huh?
Caledonian? No.
No, not my Caledonian Braves, my beloved Braves. No, just the Scottish national team.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And the shirt showed up. It is the ugliest, weirdest piece of shit I have ever bought off the internet. And I've bought some doozies off the internet. You know, especially back in the, what was it, wish.com days?
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, pre-Timu.
Ugh.
And it's garbage. I mean, it is absolute garbage. They took a beautiful image of what could have been a really cool-ass t-shirt, and then they printed it on top of a white t-shirt.
Ooh. Did I see this?
Yeah, it was down in the kitchen. You looked at it and went, well, that's awful.
Yeah. On the day they announced, Scotland announced what its official jersey was going to be, I'm like, I want one.
Yeah.
So I went online to find it, to buy one, and on the official site, they were about $100 a pop.
Yeah.
But there was a site that was selling them for less than 50. And I was like, ooh. And then I changed my mind on ordering them because I think that's what I would have gotten.
Yep.
Is what you got.
Yep. Yeah.
That sucks so bad.
It does. I don't, it's somewhere, it's still in its package. Mm-hmm. Because not only was it printed onto a white t-shirt, it was printed from something that had to be around 30 DPI. Because it was pixelated as fuck.
That reminds me of your Mandalorian helmet.
Like, oh, that was glorious.
A little bit of a miss.
She was online and saw this beautiful, beautiful Mandalorian helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So she got it for me. I can't remember if it was a birthday or something.
It's not cheap either. Like, no. I spent money on it.
Yep. And God, what was that? It was still during season one. Yeah. And I was just really geeking out about the show. Yeah. And yeah, it showed up. It was made of floppy rubber.
Smelled awful.
Smelled awful. And then the glass that you would see on the helmet in the show was like this really thin. You know when you get your eyes dilated and they give you those cheap ass sunglasses to wear if you didn't bring your own? It was those. It was made of that stuff. It was, oh, and I still have it. Because it thrilled me at the time, and still, that my beloved wife, who does not... There you go, buddy.
Nice.
There you go.
Now, those are thicker than the stuff they put in the helmet. But yeah, no, it was my then girlfriend gave a shit enough about me and cared enough about me to buy me something that I would want and would probably try and buy for myself, and that was meaningful to me. And so I keep it as a memento of not only the care and love that I received from this woman, but how fucking ridiculous the product was.
So ridiculous.
It really was.
I mean, all they have to do is take the image from whatever official site, throw it on there and claim that's what you're getting, and then send you whatever shit they want to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet bites me in the ass every once in a while. I bought a fan. It was supposed to be a tower fan, like the ghost fan we have over here. Thing showed up. It was about 9 inches tall and plugged into a USB port. And when you plugged it in, it sounded like a piglet screaming.
I have the worst luck with Timu. I'm getting better. But my mom is like, your measurements are shit. Like, you don't even know how measurements work. I try to look at, like, and see, but my brain just doesn't work that way. And so I did this order. I got these mini, tiny little baby pom-poms, about 12 of them. I don't know why I ordered that. What else did I get? I got...
Oh, the little plates.
Yeah, the painter's palettes.
Yeah, they looked on in the thing like they were about yay big, like about an 8-inch
like a regular palette.
Yeah.
And they showed up, and they were about as big as a 50-cent piece. It was great.
Just everything, all of it. And then I ordered these balloons, and Tanum's like, these alien balloons. And Tanum said, how many are in there? And I said, 6. There were 16. So I get it wrong.
That one was a good one to get wrong, though. That one worked out okay, because these things were about 2.5 feet tall. These little alien balloons. They were fucking great. I liked those. I liked those a lot. I liked everything you did for that one. That one was fun. It was a good party. How about a little news to close out the segment?
Let's do it.
Based on new reporting from The Intercept, Kash Patel looks like he was an out-of-control drinker even in his youth. Patel was twice arrested in incidents involving alcohol, once for public intoxication and once for public urination after leaving a bar. He admitted in a 2005 letter about disclosures on his Florida bar application. One incident was in 2005, a few months before the letter. He and some friends went out to a few local bars and consumed a few alcoholic drinks, the letter states. In a gross deviation, I'm quoting now, in a gross deviation from appropriate conduct, we attempted to relieve our bladders while walking home. Before they could even do so, Patel said in the letter. A police cruiser caught them and arrested them for public urination.
Was he just unzipped all willy-nilly hanging out there?
You have to commit a crime to be convicted of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that they were all peeing, probably in the middle of the fucking street, and then, you know, that'll plead. Because if you just down your zipper and your bits are still tucked away, the cops got nothing on you. You're just a guy walking around without a license to sell hot dogs. Didn't see that coming, did you? No, you did not. I went back to the third grade for that one. Okay, so a dude who was on the raid in Venezuela went, after finding out what his mission was, went onto one of those betting apps and bet that the United States would invade Venezuela and kidnap Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
And the odds were so long on that because it's such a dumb idea. He ended up like making like $400,000 and the internet's like, who the fuck was that? I'll bet that's somebody that has something to do with Trump. Turns out, no, it was just a guy who was on the raid who wanted to make a couple of bucks and took it just a little too far.
Well,
just went on Cal Sheep. Probably put down $20. The odds were so good that he got $450,000.
I'm not mad at this guy.
No.
I am not mad at him. I'm mad at Congress.
Yep.
There's a dude right now that he's a financial advisor, and what he did is he built an AI that will invest in you the same way that Congress critters invest. So if a Congress critter makes a trade, this sees that and makes a trade for you as well with your money. I love it, and it seems like, and I don't want to take away from any of the voices in Congress that are actually making a genuine call on this, but it seems like when the vox populi, when the people started making money on something that only Congress critters were making money on, that's when the calls really got loud for suspending stock trades among Congress critters.
Mm-hmm.
The two coincide with each other really, really quite well. And then Rep. Dan Goldman popped up and out loud in front of cameras and everything said that Trump is not well, and he calls for the 25th Amendment to be triggered.
Thank you.
Yep.
We need more people doing this.
Yeah. Anyway, we're up against it. We're going to take a break really quick when we get back on the other side. I've got some news. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
When it comes to the 25th, I started thinking he was firing cabinet officials who were maybe quietly thinking along that direction until I noticed in the pattern that, no, he's just firing cabinet members that have vaginas. And
and also are, well, and he pays attention when the cabinet members with a vagina also are using money for their own things. Like, he's completely ignoring everything Cash Patel is doing with his money, with money to fly himself out to the Olympics and party with the men's hockey team.
Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't care. I don't think he cared that the Secretary of Labor was doing all this, was having a whole sex scandal. It was when he found out she was wasting money. The same thing out with Kristi Noem. He didn't care about her fucking her aide on her sex jet. But as soon as he found out she wasted all this money, then he fired her ass. So yeah, it's just.
What did she end up spending, like $200 million on an ad campaign where she got to cosplay as someone who did real work?
Mm-hmm.
Joke.
Yeah, he's big on that. You don't waste the money. If you're a woman, you can't waste any of the money or he'll fire you. If you're a dude, you can waste all the money you want, apparently, as long as you suck up to him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care what women think of him, because he knows he can just get any woman into bed with, you know, waving $1 billion under her nose. But when it comes to men, it's like he wants every man to respect him.
Or he asks Jeffrey Epstein to hook him up with a friend.
Well, or he forces them. Let's just be honest. It's not just money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a 25th Amendment enacted unless we can get a Democratic majority throughout Congress. That's House and Senate, because they'll throw that in there to avoid him getting impeached.
I mean, for me, you know, I think impeachment is the easier optic. But
he hates looking weak. But if he just says, you know, I'm just done with this whole thing, and they 25th Amendment on him, he doesn't lose anything for it. If he's impeached and removed from office, there's a chance he could lose a lot of his presidential privileges post presidency.
Huh.
We've never had anyone we've impeached to enforce that or to put that forward.
Yeah.
The last guy that was even close to getting it, well, the last guy that got impeached was Trump, but the guy before that, he wound up skating past the Senate and got to stay in office just like Trump did. And then the guy before that, who he thought all of Congress would evict him, was Nixon, and he resigned before anything could happen. So that's the other thing, is Trump could choose to resign. And he could just say, well, it's obvious now that there's a Democratic majority, I'm not going to get anything done, I'm going to resign. You know, just that's his version of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Maybe. I just don't know if he'd be willing to go out with people thinking that it was because of diminished capacity, because he's still running around telling everybody, you know, what a fucking stable genius he thinks he is. So,
and
I don't know.
What perfect health he's in and all that shit.
Yeah, it's seeing pictures of NFL players that are 6'4 and 220.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put a picture of him next to him. I mean, it's just
6'4 at 220 is a skinny NFL player. I'll tell you that. That's like a quarterback.
Was it the runner. What team was it that came to the White House and he fed them McDonald's? And I just kept thinking, those poor, they're athletes. They don't eat like that. You can't eat like
that. That was the men's hockey team.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, definitely the hotel
back
they're
in 2020. It was it the Eagles that went? Because it was the Super Bowl champs, I thought.
I don't know.
And, he had his hamburgers out.
Hamburgers. Hamburgers. Remember how during Trump's first term, folks would argue that he's not really a fascist, because he doesn't do fascist things like nationalize businesses. But the federal government is currently kicking around the idea of giving Spirit Airlines the budget airline continually ranked as one of the worst to fly, a $500 million loan of taxpayer money in order to keep it afloat. In return, the American people wouldn't get that money back. Instead, the government would get warrants to take a stake in yet another private company. He did that to NVIDIA. He took 10% of NVIDIA.
Yep.
So rescuing Spirit is not only ridiculous because the market's spoken pretty loudly about a company that has filed for bankruptcy twice in 2024, but it's becoming increasingly clear over the last couple of weeks that the airline might face liquidation pretty soon, mostly due to being shitty at business, but secondarily mostly. Trump's war in Iran. Iran, you all heard me say Iran this time. Iran sent fuel prices up. So why the hell would Donald Trump want to save this airline? And I think it's because he doesn't want the headline of an airline having failed when Barack Obama saved all the airlines during his term.
Right. But that was, I mean, all of that was a different story. When Obama became president, his very first term, he was dealing with this huge financial crisis because when the bubble burst with the housing market, it affected all these banks, and they stopped being able to give short-term loans, which is how businesses make payroll most of the time.
Yeah,
you know, you've made a sale or you've got money coming in, but it isn't going to come in on the day you got to pay all your employees. So you go to your bank and say, well, you know, we're getting this, we're good for it, we got this money coming in, but we need a short-term loan. And a lot of corporations were just churning short-term loans constantly in order to make payroll and everything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they weren't doing that anymore, and it was actually collapsing our entire business structure. Like, and that was when Obama came in, everybody came to him with saying, please, sir, I know we said we hated you, but could you help us, please? And Obama wound up saving them all.
Yeah. But what you have to do is take that particularly, I'm not going to say complicated, but, you know, specified narrative.
Yeah.
And dumb that down to the third grader with a TBI. Which is basically, Obama saved airlines. I'll save airlines. I'll show you. I can do better than Obama. Yeah.
Third grader with a TBI.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's basically who he is. Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of a third grader with a TBI, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Remember her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little piece of news that skipped by, which I have no idea we're going to end up talking about it later. The dude whose name doesn't matter that replaced her, that picked up her seat after she quit, is apparently every time he opens his mouth, dipshit falls out.
Oh, yeah. No,
like
he's
heavy, concentrated.
He's a Louis
dipshit.
Gohmert. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think he's as smart as Louis Gohmert, because at least Louis Gohmert passed the fucking bar in Texas somehow. So Marjorie Taylor Greene has joined a list of people questioning the assassination attempt on Trump. A lot of MAGA supporters are starting to promote conspiracy theories about the assassination attempt in July of 2024. I am someone who doesn't think it happened. I don't think it was real. I think that a fireman was murdered to make political points.
I think he was martyred.
The fireman?
Yeah, I think he chose to martyr himself.
Oh, so he was a volunteer in the false flag.
Yeah, I believe he. I wouldn't be surprised.
Didn't he leave behind kids?
Just asking questions, you know.
It makes me so sad.
Yeah. He did. I think it was two kids and a wife. Mm-hmm. Two kids and a wife, and he hated them so much that he volunteered to be murdered to get Trump elected. You know what? Back then, yeah, I could see that kind of devotion. It's a little weaker now. I don't see Kool-Aid drinking being part of the MAGA process much anymore, except for in very specific and small number of details. I'm just basing that on his polling. You know? So Marjorie Taylor Greene's questioning the details of the assassination attempt. The former Congress critter reposted a social media post on Saturday from Trisha Hope, a self-described J6 activist, who wrote that the details surrounding the July 2024 assassination attempt at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania included the perfectly timed photo of Trump and Trump's refusal to talk at length about it. She says they're weird. Because you know what? For all of the enemies that he has and all of the people that he talks shit on, when was the last time you heard him talk shit on the guy who tried to shoot him?
Yeah.
It's true.
Not a peep.
Hasn't said a word about him. Didn't try to look into, didn't talk about finding a way, you know, looking further into him. Doesn't have his Justice Department doing a deeper probe into some conspiracy group. He's walked away from it. And I'm like,
Let me round it up like this. Jake Barlow is a name. Hang on to that one for just a minute.
Okay.
Oh, I have forgotten the other one. I can't make my point. But Jake Barlow tried to kill me once. I'd never met him before, but he did a drive-by at a bar I worked at. Right?
Yeah.
And emptied his clip at us. I think it was 10 shots. And hit nobody. Just put a bunch of holes in a building that already had a bunch of holes in it, frankly. And and kept on driving. I know his name.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to kill me. I know his name. Trump does not know the name of the guy that tried to kill him.
Right.
And that does not fucking compute with what a revenge whore, you know, Trump is.
Yeah, there's so much suspicion. And I'm like, when she brought that up, I said, that's interesting because I hadn't even thought that direction yet. I was more like, why did the crane lower the flag at the exact perfect moment for that photograph?
Why did they let him stand on the stage with an active shooter and pump his hand in the air with his head all visible, not only to the shooter, but from way down below that stage by a photographer?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was, fuck it. It was staged. It was bullshit.
It was a staged photo op, yeah.
Yep. So when it comes to, you know, Saturday's White House press correspondents dinner, you know, look, okay, straight up, the dude had a shotgun. I saw a video of him running through a security checkpoint, and then I watched the Keystone cops shoot him, or shoot at him. You know what I mean?
Shoot at him. Yeah.
You know, and there were cameras everywhere. This happened not only outside of the ballroom, but one floor up. You know, the guy didn't get fucking close. But... Mm-hmm. Looking at the videos that were all there, you're just like, this looks like bad, you know, 90s indie sci-fi. It does. It looks like a Highlander sequel. That's what I'm saying. Not the second one, which looked good and was bad, but
yeah.
3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just looked cheesy as shit. In addition to that, the Trump administration wants to test drinking water for abortion and birth control pill. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden is demanding answers from the EPA after an extreme move that could hinder access to abortion and birth control pills. The Trump administration's EPA recommended earlier this month that states begin testing drinking water for certain forms of abortion pills and contraceptives. A worrisome move that comes after a year-long pressure campaign from anti-abortion organizations weaponizing environmental regulations to further undermine access to care. Wyden wrote in a statement, or in the letter to the EPA, saying, while you claim these benchmarks are merely to, quote, empower local decision makers, end quote, your own statements suggest a darker reality. This is laying the groundwork for sweeping state and federal restrictions on reproductive health care.
Mm-hmm.
Does not surprise me. Not one bit. It is about control. It is not about anything else.
That's right.
Yep. Finally, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, my hero, had something to say about Trump golfing during the Iran war that was a little surprising.
Yeah.
Asked by Midas Touch Network's Pablo Amanriquez for her reaction to Trump golfing, quote, while we're at war, end quote, with Iran, and as prices continue to soar, well, AOC acknowledged, quote, it's awful that this guy's out playing golf instead of focusing on a job at hand. Then she said, and I quote, but in a way, we're already seeing that some of the most important military decision makers in the country are trying to keep him out of consequential decisions. It's been alleged that aides kept the president out of the room as they got minute-by-minute updates during the delicate operation to rescue airmen downed in Iran, quote, because they believed his impatience wouldn't be helpful. AOC continued, so in some ways, you kind of want this guy on a golf course more than you want him in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love her. I was so jelly of Ben McAdams. You know that he was, they were desk partners.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I know.
What a dick.
I know.
Clearly it didn't rub off on Ben.
Well, how come she hasn't come made a trip to Utah? Obviously, he didn't make a very good impression on her.
Probably proselytized.
I know he did. He left a Book of Mormon on her side.
Over and over and over again. Look, say what you will about Ben McAdams, but if he doesn't have return missionary energy, I don't know who has.
That's what I'm Absolute saying. That's why he's a perfect energy. Candidate in Utah.
Yep. Okay, that's it. Look, the list of stuff we got for Patreon is fucking nuts this week. And I don't mean that in a, hey, look at all this fun news I have. It's very important stuff. It's just it's just a little more. So we're going to move that over to Patreon right now. It's at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we are over on Patreon. You know, we swear a little more. We tell more personal stories. It's sometimes it's funnier. So think about joining us over on patreon.com/defendmedia. That's how we pay for our hosting. You know what I mean?
I love Patreon.
I do too. It's fun to do.
I like to tell stories.
Yeah, you do. Oh, you owe us. There's a story you have to tell in Patreon this week. I don't remember what it is for Doug.
Because we
promised a story last week and we did not deliver, and we were told. With that, the new show that we kicked off about 3 weeks ago, Gen Zex, is now putting out Patreon content.
Cool.
And it's fun. You guys are going to like it. It's not all serious and heavy and important like this. It's fun and light and important. Anyway, that's it for me. Thank you, JC.
You're welcome, America.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Of course.
Thank you, me. How you doing, pretty mama? We will see you next week.
Bye.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.